Good evening. This is the 6th of July, 2017, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is the Natural Healing Show. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this evening. Take it away, Ed.
Thank you, Robert. Can you hear me clearly, Robert?
Hear you fine.
Okay, awesome. Okay, I'd like to start by saying thank you, everybody, whoever's on this call, for coming again. This is a brand new committee that Robert actually started up. And the last few calls, I've been kind of giving like overviews on healing and fasting and stuff like that. And today I was going to talk about a specific herb, but I kind of changed my way of thinking on this because I think there's so much power in the art of cleansing and fasting that I need to stress that just one more time. We may get into maybe some herbs later on if I have time. But the way I want to start this off is I think one of the obstacles that I found in my own personal life was really my thinking process, how I have been conditioned to think about food and to think about my daily activities and so on and so forth. And I think it's kind of important for us to kind of look back on specifics about our daily activities and how we get involved in the process of what we eat. And one of the things that I believe it was in the early 1900s, I believe, don't quote me on that, but, you know, when Kellogg's came out with, you know, Kellogg's Corn Flakes, you know, that was the first cereal that came out. But anyway, that became the breakfast item of the day. And since then, the corporations created this kind of paradigm that we must eat three times a day. And quite frankly, I don't know about any one of you, but I surely have been following that kind of paradigm for most of my life until I become aware of the stagnant thinking that is. Because, you know, once I was aware of this, I found myself seeing and realizing that I was eating sometimes when I wasn't even hungry. You know, because it was, you know, I worked all day long. I came home at 5:30, 6 o'clock, and you know, you take your shower, clean up, and you know, your wife is cooking dinner or you're making dinner because it's dinner time, not because you're hungry. And that goes for breakfast as well. And you know, it's a well-known theory that, you know, you need to have a good breakfast, you know, to have enough energy for the day and so on and so forth. So we've been kind of duped into believing that, you know, we must have these three balanced meals a day to be healthy and to create a healthy lifestyle for yourself. And I believe personally that's the furthest from the truth. Really, one of the things I kind of thought about is, you know, if an alcoholic and let's say one of your friends is an alcoholic and he comes up to you and asks you, you know, I'm so tired of, you know, getting drunk. Well, my response to my friend, if he had said that to me, would be, well, stop drinking, and then you won't get drunk. Someone who's smoking cigarettes or tobacco or whatever, one of your friends may say, you know, I'm really tired of coughing. You know, I need to, I don't know what to do. You know, stop smoking, okay? And then people, and I've done this myself, you know, I need to lose weight, you know? Well, stop eating, okay? We consume so much, and I hate to say food because it isn't food. That is one of the obstacles in creating a healthy lifestyle and a healthy body is actually eating real food. And when we say we had food today, you know, I want you to really think about what really, is it alive? Is it real food? Is it an apple? Is it an orange? Is it an organic apple and orange? Because even oranges that you get anywhere, most places are not even good for you because nutritional value is gone through the process of preservatives and pesticides and what have you, okay? So the question is, well, how do I get nutrition? Because, see, when we go through the day, let's say you wake up in the morning and you know, you're in a rush and you get out and you go to work and you didn't have any breakfast and, you know, 10 o'clock comes around and you're starting to feel a little bit of that hunger. Most of us, maybe we get maybe a ham, egg, and cheese or some type of food that we believe is going to fulfill the body's need for nutrition. Meanwhile, it really doesn't fulfill that need. All it does is fill up our stomach, okay, and make us feel like we're full, but we're really not. We're just filling our stomach with foreign matter, literally. Now, I'm not saying there is absolutely no nutrition in these foods. There might be, okay, and I'm sure there is, but not to the degree that we need to have a healthy internal system to optimize its functions, okay? So it's vitally important that there's a couple of factors here to immediately, what I'd like to do today is kind of touch on what can we actually do right now? Now, what can we do right now to start on that progress, to start on a path of healing? And one of the things is, you know, we need to, okay, let's not go to the extreme and say, let's just stop eating for 3 months, okay? But let's say, why don't we, you know, reduce the intake of food? Why don't we be aware of, you know, when you do feel that hunger pain, you know, don't say that you're starving because that's not true. We're not starving. I've said that many times myself. What our body is saying to us is, please give me nutrition. It is not saying give me preservatives or pesticides or chemicals or all these other things that are in all these packaged foods that we get that we think we're eating and feeding our body nutrition. It's not. It is saying to us, please give me vitamin D, vitamin B17, and this mineral, and this vitamin, and so on and so forth, because it needs potassium and magnesium and iron. It needs all of these elements and minerals and vitamins to function at its optimal level. So when we get that hunger pain, our body's not saying to us, just go eat food, which is really not even food. What it is saying is maybe grab real food, like live food, and maybe some grains, or first of all, drink some water. No one should be, one of the most important things, you can live, I believe, and don't quote me on this, you can live months without food, but you can only live about 10 days without water, okay? So water is vital to all forms of life. And water, you know, when we say we're starving, if we didn't eat for 8 hours, it's so ridiculous when we think about it. And when you start really thinking about how ridiculous that sounds, there's people all around the world that are literally, they are starving, you know, and they may be gifted with a bowl of rice or half a bowl of rice, and they think that's, you know, that's a treasure of their life, you know. And they haven't eaten for weeks at a time, or maybe months. Okay, that's starving. Okay, we don't. Most a greater percentage of the people in the United States are not starving. Yes, there are some. Okay, but me myself, I've said that to myself on occasions, not knowing really what am I saying. What am I? I'm not starving. I'm just a little hungry. I haven't eaten for 6 hours or 5 hours. Okay, but what happens is we come into this routine of just throwing stuff in our mouth, you know, and eating, you know, and before I became an herbalist, man, I would, this would consist of my day, and this is true. I'd wake up in the morning and I have a cup of coffee, maybe two, and maybe a buttered roll, and then on the way to work, I'd stop and, now I'm talking about when I was in New York. The New York, they had some other, a lot more options as far as delis and stuff like that. But I would stop at a deli on the way to work and pick up a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich with another cup of coffee and a chocolate cupcake of some sort, or a Danish, okay? And that would be my breakfast on the way to work. When I get to work, I'd work a couple hours, 9, 10 o'clock. I would stop for a break. And most of the, this is when I was in my own business, which was most of my life. And I would send a guy out to go get, you know, some snacks, some buttered rolls or buttered bagels with some more coffee or apple juice or some chips or something like that. And that was a snack at 9:30, 10 o'clock. 12 o'clock come around, I'd get a big old hero, roast beef and provolone cheese with lettuce, tomato, and onions on it with some mayonnaise or whatever. Have another cupcake thing and some chips and a big old Pepsi, okay? 3:30, 4 o'clock comes around, same thing, a little snack here, a coffee, maybe a buttered roll or some donuts, okay? And then get home, shower up, and my wife would most likely, most of the time, have dinner on the table for me because I'd call her up and say I'm on my way home. She'd make my dinner, and I'd have a three-course meal. And after dinner, I'd sit on the couch and maybe have chips and coffee afterward and watch TV. I mean, this was a typical day for me, and it probably sounds familiar to most of us, okay? And that is, I mean, by that time, I mean, I am so bloated and busted, it's just, I think about it now, and I can't even believe I went through that. But the body is so resilient. It's so amazing. It's a magnificent machine, and it can be pounded away with so much garbage, and it finds a way to filter it and to get through it. And but what happens is, you know, after 30, 35 years of that, and 40 years of that. And if you look at statistics, it's around that age, like 35, you know, you have this, there's exceptions to that, but for the most part, between 35 and 40 or so is when issues start to really, you know, surface. You know, who gets diabetes, who has, you know, this disease, that disease, and so on and so forth. And it's because at that whole, I mean, you're talking 30, 35 years of eating all of this non-organic substances placed into the internal organs to filter out somehow and to try to gather whatever nutrients are available within that stuff that you put in it to survive. And it goes into all kinds of self-fulfilling modes to try to save itself. You know, for instance, I mean, diarrhea is actually a good thing. It's your body trying to save you from dying. It's trying to get rid of that garbage quickly. Most people don't understand that. When you have a fever, when kids have a fever or when adults have a fever, most of us are trained and conditioned to take Tylenol, okay? Well, it's not good to stop the fever because a fever is a good thing. A fever is what happens is when we get a fever, that is the army of cells are coming up and building up to combat that issue that's in your body. So it builds up the heat and the temperature by doing so. I believe they're called T cells, okay? And what happens is a fever is actually the process by which the body is trying to fight and combat whatever it is that's in there that's causing the problem, the sickness, okay? And when we reduce that fever, we're actually slowing down the process of healing. So, you know, we need to understand certain things like this, you know, and I know lots of people panic when they have, you know, a fever of 102, 103, especially a kid. And, you know, now my kids know not to, you know, not to be panicky about that because, you know what, the human body will not, it's with extreme cases, it's not going to overheat and you're not going to die. But, yes, there are extreme cases where you may have to, you know, when it gets high or something, so on and so forth. But for the most part, it's actually a good thing. It's like pain. Pain is a good thing. You know, we think it's a bad thing, and that's why we take a painkiller to get rid of that pain instantly. It's like we want, as Americans, we want instantaneous relief on things. And what happens by following that kind of a mindset is we're avoiding solving the problem. We're not fixing the cause. We're covering up the symptom. So that pain, that headache or that pain in the arm, yeah, we can get rid of that for an hour or two by taking a painkiller, but we're not, it's going to come back because we're not fixing what's causing that problem, okay? So my point of this whole intro is we need to create a new paradigm. We need to really stop and think about our thinking. We need to really, you know, question, why do we do this? Why do we, you know, eat when I'm really not hungry? I haven't eaten all day today at all. And I'm not even really hungry. But I've been drinking a lot of water, distilled, steam distilled water. I had some couple of glasses of apple juice. And I don't even know if I'm going to eat today. And it actually feels good. It feels enlightening when you have that little hunger pain, you know. It makes you appreciate the good food when you do have it, when you do eat an orange or an apple. And one of the things I'm going to do next is we're going to go through that three-day cleanse in detail in a minute. But one of the things that we will learn as we go through the cleansing process is that, number one, we get a whole new, we're more grateful for the foods that we're going to eat. And more importantly, we're more particular on what we eat. We don't, so many times when I do this 3-day cleanse, I could never, and it's actually dangerous, okay, to go from not eating for 3 days and then all of a sudden on your fourth day you have a big old whopper. I mean, that's not good. That's like, that's like shock, okay? So, but what I'm trying to say, though, is that you will not want to do that. And that's the enlightening part. Because when you start to cleanse your body and you stop eating for a day or two or three, and because once you stop eating physical food, okay, that doesn't mean stop drinking, okay, but once you stop eating that hard food and the physical food, your body automatically goes from digestive to cleansing mode, okay? It is no longer trying to digest anything. So it automatically, at that, within I think it's 12 to 24 hours, once it sees that there's no more food to digest, it just completely, that just is not even part of the process anymore. So it automatically starts to cleanse. And that's when you pee more and you may poop more, or you will poop more, even though you're not eating. I heard so many stories from people who had gone on a week fast and all they did was drink protein drinks or water and so on and so forth. And they didn't understand why they were pooping more that week than they were when they were regularly eating. And the reason for that is because of what I'm talking about is the body automatically goes into cleansing mode. And it gets rid of the caked up fecal matter that's within our intestinal tracts, okay, and in our colon. And it breaks. And if you do it a long enough time and you do it properly and you take in some extra virgin olive oil and apple cider vinegar as well and some other herbs, what happens is that caked up catarrh and fecal matter that's on the walls of our intestinal tracts they break off, okay? And we expel them through our bowels, okay? And that's how, you know, it's so important to have a cleansed bowel, to clean that tract and start, because now all nutrients, when we eat food, real food, especially real food, and let's say we make herbal teas and so on and so forth, okay, when that goes into the intestinal tract, into the large intestines, it is through there where it absorbs those nutrients and brings it into the internal organs for nutritional values, okay? So if the intestinal tract, if those inner walls of our intestines are clogged up and caked on goop, well, then minimal amount of nutrition, if we're going to get nutrition into that area, will get brought into the system, okay? So some good nutrients will even be expelled when it would be best to get into the system. So my point is it's very important that we understand how important it is to, you know, every once in a while stop eating, cleanse the bowels, allow the body to cleanse itself, to get rid of some of those toxins, okay? We not only through our food, but just the air we breathe and it comes through our skin. I mean, we have so much pollution in the air. We don't see it. We don't recognize it. We don't pay attention to it. radioactivity stuff and you know, from our meters and our microwaves. I mean, there's so much. The body is being attacked at so many levels that we really don't pay attention to that. And cleansing is very, very important to the beginning path of healing the body. So now, with that said, I'm gonna talk about and I kind of went over very quickly. I believe it was the first call, the 3-day cleanse. So I'm gonna read through this and just bear with me, and we'll get through this as quickly as possible. So the 3-day cleanse. This is not just about the cleanse; it is about the aftermath. Okay, because what's very important is after you do a cleanse, you want to kind of change your diet. You don't want to go back to that bad. We don't want to have a diet. We want to have a lifestyle change. We want to have a paradigm shift. It's so vitally important that we all understand how important it is to create this new paradigm of thinking as far as our health goes. We cannot and should not depend upon a doctor or any other person to heal us. Okay, Hippocrates said we must be our own doctors. You know, we must be aware of our body, what's happening around it. We are the doctors of our own body, and we can heal our body. So let me start here. So this cleansing program will purify the body so it may be healed. If you are overweight, this program will take you down to your normal weight, body weight. I'm sorry, your normal body weight. And if you are underweight, it will bring you up to normal. The purpose of this entire program is to eliminate mucus from the body so that the patient is healed in a natural way from the inside out. After cleansing the body with this program, continued with the mucusless diet. I'm going to stop right there because that's very important right there, mucusless diet. And we will get into what that exactly means. But basically, it says it right in itself. It's food, real food, that doesn't cause mucus in the body. It doesn't build up catarrh in the body. It's fresh, natural foods that are actually nutrient in value and actually helps the body, okay? So after cleansing the body with this program, continue with a mucusless diet and other health-preserving procedures outlined in this booklet. In this way, you will not only help rid the body of disease-causing impurities, but also maintain and build vibrant good health. So now, the detoxification procedure is as follows, okay? Supreme cleanness is the first step towards a healthy body. Any accumulation or retention of morbid matter or waste of any kind will retard our progress towards recovery. The natural eliminative channels are the lungs, the pores of the skins, the kidneys, and the bowels. Perspiration is the action of the sweat glands in throwing off toxins which would be injurious if retained in the body, which is why we sweat and we let off that stinky smell sometimes. The kidneys excrete the end products of food and body metabolism from the liver. The bowels eliminate not only the food waste, but also waste matter known as body waste in the form of used up cells and tissues, the result of our physical and mental activities, which is not eliminated because protein purification, putrefaction resulting in toxemia or acidiasis. The retention of such body waste has a much more insidious effect on our health than is generally suspected, and its elimination is one of the first steps toward perceptible progress toward health. The cleansing procedure will affect such elimination quickly, particularly for adults. And I had mentioned this quickly in the first call again about juicing. While you're cleansing, to use juice and water every 30 minutes. And so I'm going to just go over that again. The first thing in the morning, what we do is we drink 16 ounces of prune juice. Now, the purpose of prune juice is not primarily to empty the bowels, which, however, it will do anyway, but rather to draw into the intestines from every part of the body such toxic matter or body waste as may be there and eliminate it through the bowels. So I'm going to stop there. I mean, so I remember the first time I did this three-day cleanse, which was 12 years ago, and I drank that first glass of 16-ounce of prune juice. I almost vomited. It was so disgusting. I never drank it before. And you have to acquire the taste for it. And it's but now I drink it down. I actually like it. And that's one thing we need to remember also is our taste buds will change as we change our diets and our way of thinking and so on and so forth. But this is very powerful that prune juice not only makes you go to the bathroom, for some reason it's almost like a magnet. The herb, that prune, the prunes actually pulls from all the organs of your body the toxins from it and brings it into the bowels to get eliminated. So that's really, really powerful to do this three-day cleanse and starting off first thing in the morning with 16 ounces of prune juice. And furthermore, before I go any further, after drinking this prune juice in first thing in the morning, and then 30 minutes later you'll drink either apple juice or water, 8 ounces of it, and then 30 minutes later you do the opposite, and you continue that all day long, you're going to find that within 2 hours at least, probably less than that, you're going to have your first bowel movement. And it's going to be a very good one. And you're going to continue to have bowel movements until you stop doing this cleanse. It's an amazing, amazing cleanse. So I'll continue. If nothing were done to replace in the body, I'm sorry, let me repeat that. If nothing were done to replace in the body something in volume equal to the quantity of matter so eliminated, then the body would naturally be dehydrated to that extent. Therefore, we replace the toxic or acid material so removed by drinking fruit juices. This has an alkaline reaction on the system. There are various types of juice therapy, apple, carrot, grape, citrus, tomato, etc. But use only the one chosen for the 3 days. So pick one and use that for the 3 days as the juice of choice with your water for those 3 days. And chew each mouthful thoroughly. I know that sounds weird. When I first learned that, it sounded weird, but you actually do that. You just make believe that, you know, don't just drink and swallow it. Keep it in your mouth and swish it around and chew it, basically. And that's supposedly that does a little bit more, it's more effective in that manner. Continued on, one of the most effective blood purifiers known is the common apple. There is no other remedy, agent, or herb in the whole range of known therapeutic agents that can compare with the apple tree. And although it would be difficult to say which of its many virtues is the greatest, we suggest that its abundance of, nascent oxygen compound is probably the main reason why it is such a precious food, blood purifier, and unfailing remedy for so many forms of diseases. And I stop right there. And that is one of the reasons why pure organic apple cider vinegar is such a powerful herb for all kinds of diseases. The apple, from my research, the apple has just about every mineral, vitamin, and micro nutrient in it, but at trace levels. So there's not a lot of one thing in it, but it is the only herb or fruit that has just about everything in it. So it's like the old mother's tale, you know, an apple day keeps the doctor away, has some truth to it, because it is a very powerful fruit. But when you get the apple cider vinegar, the Bragg's Organic with the mother apple cider vinegar, you're getting a concentrated apple. you know, it's hard to find organic fruits, and that's why I prefer to just, you know, I want to feed my body nutrition. And pure apple cider, pure organic apple cider vinegar is a great way to get a bunch of nutrients into your body very quickly. I usually have 1 to 3 tablespoons, 1 to 2 tablespoons 3 times a day, not including the drinks I make with it. Anyway, continuing on, other juices, of course, may be used depending on the individual preferences and condition. Those who live in a citrus belt may use a combination prepared fresh in the following proportions: 4 to 6 grapefruit, according to the size, 2 or 3 lemons, according to the size, and so on and so forth. Now, after taking the 16 ounces of prune juice, first thing in the morning, within 1/2 hour, take an 8-ounce glass of apple juice. Swish each mouthful thoroughly in the mouth, called chewing, so the saliva will mix with it, thereby getting all the nutritional and healing value from it. In fact, all meals should be eaten with little or no liquids, so the food is chewed thoroughly enough to become a liquid by being mixed thoroughly with saliva, which is the key that opens the door to digestion. Most of us, and here it is another paradigm, we're trained to, you know, let's drink that soda and these drinks with dinner because that's what we were trained to do. Meanwhile, drinking anything with your food when you're eating is actually not good for you because it actually reduces the digestive process because you're mixing with the acids in the body, in the stomach, I'm sorry. So we repeat, do not gulp the juice. In this way, there will be no danger of regurgitation to a weak stomach, but it will be very soothing and affable. But by using the saliva properly, the healing program is greatly accelerated. For the rest of the digestive juices, they are able to function properly instead of haphazardly. When desired, drink a glass of plain water, preferably a glass of distilled water, followed another 1/2 hour later with more apple juice. 1 gallon of apple juice is consumed throughout 1 day. I'll repeat that. 1 gallon of apple juice is consumed throughout 1 day through this cleanse. This, of course, is an approximate and suggested dosage as age, ability to hold liquids, etc., determine the capacity for each specific case. The alternating procedure, however, has proven to be the best way with any juice you may use for the therapy. Do not eat anything all day, although if you become very hungry towards evening, you may take an apple or two with the apple juice and carrots or celery with the carrot juice or other suitable vegetables or fruits with the respective juice. And that's basically 1 day of the 3-day cleanse. It is basically the 16 ounces of prune juice in the morning, and then you alternate between the apple juice and the steam distilled water every 30 minutes throughout the whole day. I don't cheat in having an apple. I'm not going to say cheat. It's not cheating because they say you can if that urge to get something physical in your body is that strong, then yes, then have an apple or so. I have not. I've just restrained from it, and it works. I mean, it's just like smoking. When you stop smoking, you know, wait for that next urge and just, you know, let's see what happens then. That's how I got through it. Okay, so now when you're doing this 3-day cleanse, other aids to consider. During the 3-day cleanse, take 1 or 2 tablespoons of olive oil 3 times a day. To aid in lubricating bile and liver ducts, etc. Breaking up the mucus during a juice cleanse generally causes constipation throughout these 3 days. Use more prune juice. So if you are not pooping, you need to drink more prune juice. So if you don't poop the first 2 hours, you need to drink just 8 ounces more, and so on and so forth accordingly. And then once you get it going, then it won't stop. But the bottom line is, you, most people will react to that first 16 ounce of fingers. Another thing is to begin a castor oil fermentation during this three-day cleanse. That will have to work on another time, fermentations and our different methods of getting stuff into your body. Continue this detoxification for three consecutive days. Approximately three, and this is very powerful. In doing so, if you are able to get this done and do this in 3 days, you will approximately expelled 3 gallons of toxic lymph will be eliminated from the body and will have been replaced by 3 gallons of juices. So in doing this particular cleanse, in 3 days, you would have gotten rid of 3 gallons of toxic waste and replaced it with some good stuff. This will result in speeding up the re-alkalizing of the system. If there is a jaundice condition or pain in the liver gallbladder area, also use the liver gallbladder formula. That's something else we can work on, something like that. Now, after the three-day cleanse, this is where we get into the what to do afterward. Preparatory fast after the first 3 days of cleansing. If a person has the desire or ability to do so, it is always profitable to fast 1 or 3 days using only distilled water, then a day of juice, before returning to salads and other regular foods. Do not eat any heavy foods immediately after a cleansing period or after a fast, but add these to your diet gradually. And again, I'm going to kind of reiterate what I said in the beginning. You most likely, if you get through a three-day cleanse, you're most likely not going to want to eat those heavy foods anyway. You're going to just feel so powerful and enlightening and so healthy that you're not going to even want to eat. And my wife had actually forced me to eat. And I had soup, and she gave me my regular bowl, and I only had like 5 tablespoons of it, that was it. I was done. Anyway, this is the best and smoothest way to get back into solid foods gradually, obviously. On subsequent days, begin taking vegetable juices and vegetables and fruits, preferably all raw, for breakfast. For example, eat fruit in season, sliced, chopped, or grated, and maybe add some honey for sweetening. I just want to touch on something here, too. We need to really, I recommend very highly getting the book, Miracle of Fasting, and that's on the Bragg website, www.bragg.com. The Miracle of Fasting is they get into not even just fasting and cleansing, but they get into what apple cider vinegar does and the dangers of salts, you know, where salt comes from and how it's made and the dangers of it and then sugars as well, you know, where that comes from and alternatives to that, you know, stevia and such and so on and so forth. So I recommend that very highly. That's a great source of information as far as being able to get some good stuff into the body and know the dangers of what we use. I mean, I was a salt man. I mean, we cornered a cob and steaks. I had my steak almost turned white, 20 years ago. That's how much salt I used to use. So we need to start to be aware of, you know, what is real food, what is not, and what are the alternatives to that. There are many out there, and that website kind of touches on that. let's see what time it is, how much more time I have here. Okay. Robert?
Yep.
I just kind of thought that. Okay, I thought you had something to say. I thought I heard something.
No.
Okay. Okay, so as we go, I just want to touch on a little bit because doctors, regular doctors, you know, as bright as they are, they still were taught conventional methods, and they were trained not in the holistic arena. I think their extent of advice is, you know, eat more vegetables and fruits, you know. So I want to just touch on some of the symptoms that you may experience during a three-day cleanse or any kind of fasting or cleansing program. And as the cleansing begins, the house cleaning process throughout the entire system, it will be accompanied by aches and pains in the areas where the cleansing action is most acute, and the wastage is loading the elimination system. There are times when you will feel very rough. I've experienced tiredness, fatigue. I never had any pains or maybe some aches and pains, but you definitely don't want to do any kind of excessive work or exercise during a three-day cleanse because your body is in cleansing mode and it doesn't have the proper energy to be cutting wood, per se, or anything of that nature, okay? But there are going to be times in that three-day cleanse where you're going to feel great, but then all of a sudden you're just going to feel like, wow, what the? You're going to feel really, like, roughed up and banged up and stuff. So, you know, do not be alarmed, okay? It's just saying to you that, you know, it's cleansing. You know, I'm cleansing you, so just, you know, relax, sit back, and enjoy the ride, okay? The cleansing action may produce all the symptoms and effects of severe illness, but the patient should here act with knowledge and not blame the temporary problem condition onto the cleansing. So let us not say, well, this cleansing is hurting me. That's what this is saying, okay? We need to realize that it's part of the process of cleansing, these temporary feelings of sickness, okay? You may even feel a little nauseous here and there, okay? That's all normal is what it's saying. So any mild discomforts and stuff like that is just kind of the process of the body trying to get rid of all of this garbage that's within us, okay? So we need to just be patient and just kind of just come to the realization that, you know, our body is just in cleansing mode, okay? This elimination and cleansing will not be accomplished instantaneously, okay? And one should not expect this lifetime accumulations that are packed into the system to miraculously squeeze and flush out of the tissues and organs in some colonic fashion. This will all take time. And now, just before I go any further, I want to touch on something real quick. The real cleansing of your body, to get your body back to almost like when you were a child, okay, it actually takes anywhere between 6 to 12 months of constant going on, and we haven't even touched on the mucus diet. I may have to do that next week because we're running out of time here, but it actually, you know, a three-day cleanse is just the beginning stages of starting to cleanse your body. It will literally take, it does not take anything minimal than 6 months, okay, to completely clean and cleanse all of the organs, internal organs of your body, including your skin. So, and that process can take from 6 to 12 months, maybe even more, depending upon each individual. So that's kind of depressing in a way, but it's just necessary, and we just need to know the facts, okay? So now, you will have high days and low days, and these will take place in cycles. These cleansing sickness comes in cycles of 7 days. And obviously he's talking about long-term, not even just three-day cleanses, because there are 7 week cleanses, 7 day cleanses, 7 month cleanses. I mean, where these people, lots of people, they just juice. Jack LaLanne, I mentioned last week, he was student of Dr. Paul Bragg, and he just, his whole life, just juiced his whole life. But anyway, the healing and cleansing crises and all the toxic poisons break loose and are dumped into the bloodstream so they can be eliminated from the physical body. You will feel pretty rough, and quite frequently during a crisis, you may feel worse than you did before starting the program. But again, do not panic. These crises are, again, merely toxic poisons trying to get from your body within their heavily loaded excretory channels and are doing so and are doing you the favor of leaving as rapidly as possible, which causes pain and discomfort in the elimination process. But the bad days will become fewer and fewer, and the good days greater and greater. If you are faithful to the program, let's see here. I missed this. Excuse me one second. If you are faithful to the program, the mucusless diet healing system can be a miraculous tool. Basically, the mucusless diet, I'm going to just touch on it very quickly, is all foods that do not create mucus upon eating. One of the things that we must realize is breads is, you know, I'm an Italian. My whole life I was raised on macaroni and sauce and Italian bread and butter and so on and so forth, and fried foods and fried chicken and chicken parmesan. But there was always bread on our table. Bread is just an Italian thing, I guess. I don't know. But bread just turns pure right into sugar. It's just not good for us. And so trying to refrain from now, of course, I do not eliminate it totally. But again, if we can, if we're going to cheat and eat some foods, we need to do it in moderation. Okay? We need to be aware of what we're eating and try to avoid having that. We don't have, for many, many years now, we don't have soda in my house. We don't drink soda. There's only one time I do, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but pizza requires me to have a Pepsi. Okay, so, and I know Pepsi is just so bad for us. It's just not good. But I haven't come to stage to eliminate that totally. But with pizza, I have that. So the point is, you know, we need to start somewhere. We need to start to be aware of, you know, what can I eliminate? What can I cut back on? But most importantly, let me stop eating as much. Let's caution myself. Let's condition myself and rethink about my habits of eating and sustain from that overeating and eat whenever you know, we're told to eat. Robert, instead of me going into the nuclear side, you want to just...
What was that?
Did you want me to continue for a few more minutes, or did you want to shut down? What did you want to do?
We've got about 7 minutes that we can go.
Okay, good. I'll continue then. I'm going to list here some harmful and mucus-forming foods that we should avoid to the best of our ability, if not just eliminate totally. And number one is salt. For those who are accustomed to large amounts of salt, this may sound difficult, but if you will substitute coarsely ground pepper and savory herbs, adding powdered kelp, you will find that the craving for salt will immediately begin to disappear. And this is one thing that I've done, and it does work. It's great. I don't use salt at all for probably like 15 years now. And I just use extra black pepper or kelp and just different herbs, thyme seasoning and so on. So salt is, you know, and we all could just – it's basically an inorganic substance that was created. We're not – you know, I know they talk about the salt mines or whatever, but there's a whole philosophy on that. But the salt, the table salt that we buy in stores is just poisonous for us. We need to avoid that to the best ability as we can. Another thing is eggs. Eggs is just not good for us. Okay, sugar is another one. All sugar products. The best thing, I substitute sugar with two things. One is stevia. It looks like sugar. It's very light. It's not as heavy as sugar. but it sweetens anything that I'm doing, whether I'm baking or I'm making my Italian sauce or what have you. I'm always using stevia, so it's healthy. It's a natural product. Also, honey. Honey I will use either in coffee or teas or what have you. There's many, many formulas and formulations that I use honey in. I mentioned that too last week. A health drink that I make is one tablespoon of honey, one or two tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, a quarter teaspoon or half a teaspoon, and building up to one teaspoon of cayenne pepper and 8 ounces of distilled water. Is an amazing health drink. It's for your the whole circulatory system. It's a booster upper. It's an amazing drink to have. Next thing to avoid is meat at all costs. Try to eliminate all red meats from your diet if possible. Maybe some white fish is good. Some chicken. Chicken that it's organic and grass-fed. Try to stay away from the chemicals, okay? Flour and flour products as well is another bad entity to be consuming. So those are just some of the basic ones to kind of try to avoid. Some of the things to actually take in would be cayenne. Lots of cayenne is great for the body. It's the king of herbs. It's an amazing herb to take on a regular basis, honey and apple cider vinegar. That mixture alone you can do, and it's amazing, has amazing health benefits. Kelp, wheat germ oil, and oil, of course, all organic and natural vegetables and fruits and stuff like that. Excuse me. Extra virgin olive oil is the only oil that I use in my home. It's a natural oil. Any vegetable oils are just synthetic. They're not truly oils. They're made up. I would recommend trying to stay away from that as much as possible. I kind of hope that I, kind of touched on some important stuff here. I think it's very important. Cleansing and stopping the act of eating is a very powerful tool for healing the body and giving a chance for it to heal itself. And it's an amazing, if we all do our research on this, you'll find that, it's in the Bible. Fasting is in the Bible. Many great people have done it, and it's an enlightening and powerful experience when you do it regularly. And with our today, with our day and age, it's vitally important for our health long-term, not just to eat a balanced and nutritional diet, stuff that's really nutrition in the body. We still need, even if we were eating total organic foods every day, we still need to cleanse because of the air that we breathe, because of the toxins and the microwaves and all the other waves that are invisible to us that affect the body in negative ways. So we need to cleanse the body no matter what we do. It needs to be part of our paradigm. It needs to be part of our natural habit of living to just stop and cleanse and just drink more water. So I thought it was very important to just touch on that again this week and really hope that we all can, share our experiences in this and realize that, if we want to start on a path of cleansing, we need to start, even do a one-day cleanse. I said that last week, it takes some mental strength. Anybody can do it, but we need to start somewhere. So let's start by trying to eliminate some of the food. Let's start by restraining from eating too much foods. Let's drink more water and less other liquids that are just not good for our body. And then in addition, let's start cleansing a little bit more. Even if it's a one-day cleanse, let's just fast for one day. Let's drink just water and apple juice today and start that process and getting the body used to doing that process of cleansing. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate everybody's
stopping point.
I'm sorry?
This is a good stopping point, right?
Yes, it is, sir. Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate the efforts.
Thank you. Thank all of you. Well, I hope you come on to the next call. We're going to be signing off now and then signing right back into the COS call. See y'all there.